We are in book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5.
And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying,
Here we see Jesus Christ saw people coming to him. As soon as people, multitude of people coming, he went the top of the mountain. And then the word of God says he sat there, and the disciples came, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. Now, what he's saying, we are going to read. But I was interested when he says he opened his mouth and taught them. Nowadays, we have satellite, television, radio, CDs, and things like that. They can keep it on, and music, and crowd can hear. But Jesus Christ taught the people, more than 20,000 people can listen to him. So you have to see his voice has to be strong, healthy, so all these 5,000, 10,000 people can hear. Now those days when they say he opened his mouth and taught them, it doesn't seem to be a miracle. But in today's day, it is really a miracle. The Jesus Christ can speak to people without a microphone, without any other devices, and his voice was talking to people and reaching to people, thousands of people. And now he says in verse 3,
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, it seems to be very simple to understand, but a couple of things we have to see here. First of all, he says poor in the spirit. Poor in the spirit doesn't mean that person doesn't understand anything. He's a naive person or something. Means humble or teachable. The person's mind is open to listen to the kingdom of God, the word of God, what God is teaching. That's the kind of spirit you should have. Just like a food for our body, the word of God is the food for our soul and spirit. And then another thing is this, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Means those kind of people, humble, ready to listen, ready to know more about the God and kingdom of God. Theirs is the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is belong to them, or kingdom of heaven is belong to them. Now many people are teaching, we are not going to go to heaven, we are going to stay on earth permanently. God is going to remodel this earth and we're going to be staying here. But here telling us we are going to go to heaven. Verse 4.
Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Now here also, sounds simple. If you're mourning, you will be comforted. If you're crying or something, somebody will be comforting. But that's not the thought he's bringing here. Person mourn or cry or weep, something bad happened to them. That is not going to take you to heaven. There was a one lady, she used to go to convention after convention. She will go, listen, and repent, cry. And as soon as she comes home, she will be worse than before. And so that mourning is not be comforted by God. Mourning means just like a weeping prophet, Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, if my head was the water, I would be crying for day and night for the children of Israel. There are people pray for others, intercede for others. Now this National Day of Prayer, that's just for like you are praying for your nations, you are praying for your brothers and sisters and country, and you confess their sins like you are a sinner, and you cry and weep. Those kind of people have the spirit of prayer. They pray, they intercede, they cry, and they have burden for the soul, and those people will be comforted. That means if you pray for certain person's salvation, God will save that person. And if you really are crying from your heart, the word of God says the person's heart is broken heart. Their prayer, God answers. Verse 5.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Now here again, when somebody says somebody is meek, is a very nice person, understanding person, he is very gentle person. All the gentle people and nice people, they are not going to go to heaven automatically because they are good people. There are so many people are saying, I'm not a bad person, so I will make it to heaven. Each and every person who is born into this world, they will go to hell. They don't come to the Lord and just worship without Christ and without born-again experience, they will go to hell. Here is saying, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now somebody saying, okay, this is good for Jehovah Witnesses, this is good for the people, they want to stay on this earth permanently. But that's not the meaning coming here. When Peter says, I left my house, my everything, and I followed you, what am I going to get? He says, whatever you left, you will get hundredfold on this earth, plus eternal life in heaven. So the born-again people, they are going to be inheriting earthly blessings. That doesn't mean we are going to live on earth permanently. But there is a place in eternity called New Heaven, New Jerusalem, and New Earth. So that is heavenly earth. There are some people are going to live in that earth, New Earth. We see two meek people's name is in the Bible. One was a meek person called Moses. They say Moses was a meek person. But the Moses was meek, but at the same time, he was not able to go to the promised land. He made a mistake. Another meek person we see in Matthew chapter 11, that's Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Please read.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls.
Now see what he's trying to say. Jesus Christ is saying, I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. So this is the only meek person we see in the whole wide world, that Jesus Christ. And so once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can be just like him. And so the Word of God is trying to teach us here, we have to be meek like Christ to get the earthly blessings as well as heavenly blessings. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Now here again he's saying, the people who are blessed, who are hunger, means hungry and thirsty for the righteousness sake, for they shall be filled, means they will satisfy. There is not a single thing in the world can satisfy you. Worldly food you can eat. There are some people, they get hungry. And when they eat, they said, I don't want anything anymore. But that happens only 3.5 hours or 4 hours or 5 hours. After that, they get hungry. The same with thirst. You drink and you get thirsty again. Anything in this world people use, car, houses, food, clothing, anything usable things, those things do not satisfy us. Any worldly things will not satisfy us. So that's why I say, only thing will satisfy you, be hungry and thirsty for righteousness sake. Somebody says, I don't know, what should I do when I say hungry for the righteousness sake? Shall I read the Bible? Shall I pray more? Shall I fast more? And then I'll be righteous. The righteousness comes from Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ has power to cleanse us. We are all filthy rags. We are all sinners. But once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we got the righteousness of Christ. Now, once we got the righteousness of Christ, now we be hungry for more. And what are you hungry for? How are you going to be hungry more and more? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you." That means once you are hungry for the Lord, once you are hungry for the kingdom of God, once you're hungry for the righteousness sake, then you'll be satisfied with everything what you need. The word of God says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, what he says, "My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus," or "by Christ Jesus." So that means all things what we need, we can get it through Christ. Psalmist says, "Lord is my shepherd, and what? I shall not want." Means once the Lord is your shepherd and Lord is your supplier, means Lord call all-sufficient God, El Shaddai. Then once you have God, once you are following Christ, once you are reading and studying and about the kingdom of God and trying to be a righteous person, then you will be satisfied. Not only spiritual matters, but everything what we need, we will be looking for godly things and we will get other things automatically. And some people say, "I don't know how you get it," but I believe he supplies your need. He says, "I will give to my servants in their sleep." Now somebody said, "I never saw somebody is not working, not doing anything, and God gives that person in a sleep." We have the story about Elijah. Elijah fought with this Baal's prophet. He killed 450 Baal God's prophet, and he even ran faster than horses. And next day, king's wife Jezebel said, "I'm going to kill you, and you'll be like one of them." Then he started running for his life and got tired, and he, on the way, maybe under some tree, he took a nap and he fell a sound asleep. Here comes the angel and say, "Elijah, get up and eat." And so he got a food and he ate and slept again. Then the angel came second time and gave him the food. The point I'm making, the word of God will be never be wrong. Young lion will go hungry, but the people who serve the Lord, he or his children will not beg for bread. Righteous people will be always blessed. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7.
"Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy."
There are people doing charitable work, but some of them working in that department may be not Christian. That doesn't work, because only we will learn how to love somebody when we got saved. When we have Christ in us, then we know we were sinners. By grace, by the mercy of God, we got saved. So if somebody is dying without God and without Christ, we should have mercy on that person so we can show him the way of Christ. That's the only way we can show mercy. Otherwise, you can bring the homeless person to your house. You can feed him. You can give him a bath. Keep him in your house for a month or two and never talk about God. Do you think God is going to be merciful to you because you showed mercy on that person and never told him about Jesus? It will not work that way, because we have to tell that person that God is merciful, God is love, and because of that, I'm helping you. When you're helping somebody, we have to tell them, because I got help from Christ, I am saved, that's what I'm showing you mercy. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10, if you read, it says, "Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap." So somebody says, "I'm showing mercy, so I will get mercy." You are merciful, God will be merciful to you, but the main mercy you show them about the love of Jesus Christ. There are some people going to other countries to show them the mercy of Christ, go to their houses, clean their houses, take them to shopping, stay in their house 6 months or maybe 5 years to get one soul come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of mercy they are showing. But behind that, they want to bring that person to Christ. Please read. Yes, 6. Start from verse 7.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
The idea behind this helping somebody, bringing them to Christ, or somebody is already Christian and suffering and lost the job or do not have food or something and they cannot go steal and kill and things like that. So you go and show mercy, show love to these people and try to help them. And then whatever you give, you will receive. Let's go back to the Matthew chapter 5, verse 8.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
If you are pure in your heart, then you will see God. That means our God is holy God. We cannot see God with our naked eyes. We can only see God with our spirit. St. John chapter 4, verse 24, he says what? God is spirit. So you cannot see God with your eyes. If somebody says, oh, I didn't see God and show me God. There was one person says, show me your Christ or God. I can tie you to my bed and kill him, shoot him. I said, the time will come and I'll show you. And when that person was very sick and dying, I went to the hospital and talked to him. I said, do you want to kill Jesus? He said, no, please tell Jesus to touch me and heal me. He repented, prayed for him, got saved, baptized, and became a member of our church. So the point I'm making here, you have to be pure in your hearts. How can our heart be pure? The Word of God says our heart is deceitful. And our heart is like a stone. Our heart has all kinds of sinful diseases. And we cannot purify our heart our own. Come to the blood of Jesus Christ. And blood of Jesus Christ has power to cleanse us and wash us and make us pure. We read in the 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is righteous to forgive all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So once our sins are forgiven and forgotten, when God sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ, he sees you pure, holy, and righteous. Leviticus 11, chapter 11 and verse 44 and 45, he says, our God is holy. So he says, be like holy God. Now somebody says, how can I be holy? We have to tell these people, you cannot be holy reading the book, going to the mountain, or doing sacrifices, doing charitable works. You cannot be holy doing like that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, he repeats the same thing from the Leviticus and says, our God is holy.
But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
So where is written? It's in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 and 45. Our God is holy. And we want to be holy, we cannot be holy without the blood of Jesus Christ. You want to be holy? Come to Christ. And Christ is the only one can make you holy. And say, you want to see God? You can see God with your spirit. And if somebody says, did anybody see God in their entire life? I can tell you there are so many people saw visions and dreams and Christ coming to their houses and things like that. But we have an example in the Bible. Read in the book of Acts. Chapter 7, 55 and 56.
But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God.
This Stephen is on earth. He's a holy man of God. He's born again, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, living a holy life. People are killing him. And he is looking at heaven and he says, I see the glory of God. I see the heaven open. I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Verse 56.
And said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.
So he's trying to say, I see the Father, God the Father, and I see God the Son. Now here we see there are some people do not believe in Trinity. This is a very good example. Stephen is full of the Holy Spirit. He sees Father and Son, and so we see Trinity. So the Word of God says, if you are pure in your heart or in your spirit, you will be able to see God. The Word of God says, without holiness, no man can see God. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
They say you go to another country, try to make Muslim and Jewish people gather together, we live in peacefully. And if you do that kind of job, you will be a child of God. But they do not know, we cannot be a child of God just making people united or something like that. That's a good job, but that will not make you the child of God. According to the Bible, what you have to do? St. John chapter 1, verse 12, what he says? As many as received him, to them he gives the power, authority, to be called the sons of God. Call upon Jesus, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then you will be a child of God. If there are two parties, one is fighting with another, and if they are not born again, how can we make peace with them? You can tell whole day and night, they are not going to listen. But all of these people got saved, they will be peace. Because Jesus Christ is called what? Prince of Peace. Go to the Ephesians chapter 2 and see, Jesus Christ is the only one broke the middle wall of partition between God and man. God was angry at people because we became enemy to God. A man disobeyed God, and God wanted to destroy mankind. And that's why Jesus Christ came and he died behalf of us. We got peace with God. Ephesians chapter 2, start reading from verse 11.
Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us.
The middle wall of partition is sin, because we see in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, he says, God cannot hear you, not because he is deaf. He cannot help you, not because his hand is short, but he says your sin has come between you and God. So Jesus Christ came, broken down the middle wall of partition, and now we can boldly come to the throne of God and talk to God and have a fellowship with God. People are blinded, spiritually blinded. We know that 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4, he says, God of this world has what? Blinded the minds of the unbelievers. So if their mind is blind, they are not going to see God. They are not going to understand God. It is our job, it is our duty to introduce those people to Christ. That's the only way we can make peace between man and God. That's what he is trying to say. And not only that, once you are a born-again child of God, then you're going to love another person who is a born-again child of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, please read.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him.
If you are a born-again child of God, and another person is born-again child of God, then you have some kind of a fellowship. We are all brothers and sisters together because we are born by the same God. Okay, verse 2.
By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments.
So that's what he's saying. When you are born again, child of God, we should not be prejudiced, because if you are born again, you are going to love that other person who is born again. Doesn't matter what country he is coming. And that shows that you are real child of God, because if I'm born again and if other person born again, we have the fellowship with one another, because the blood of Jesus Christ makes us one. And that makes us the children of God, not just going and talking somebody about peace and we will be called automatically children of God. Okay, let's go to the Matthew chapter 5 verse 10.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
When you say you are persecuted by the righteousness' sake, that means you are persecuted for the Christ's sake, a witness of Christ. That's the important thing. If you are a Christian, and because of you are Christian, people are persecuting you. There are monks who were beaten up by Chinese. And some people say, oh, they are righteous people, and they were beaten up, so the kingdom of God is belong to them too. So they will automatically go to heaven. Here we're talking about persecuted for Christ. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4, starting from verse 12.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy.
See, ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. If you are suffering for Christ, or the Christ suffer for us, so I say, I'm going to suffer for Christ, then you are going to be blessed. Not because you think you are religious, and any religion, and people are persecuting religious people, so automatically they are going to go to heaven. It's not going to happen like that. The Word of God is saying, you have to be persecuted for the Christ's sake. Go to the book of Mark, chapter 8, and start reading from verse 35 to 38.
For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it.
My sake and the gospel's sake means if you are persecuted for the name of Christ and you preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and then you suffering, then you have reward in heaven.
For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
If we are ashamed of him in this sinful generation, then he will be ashamed of us. So the main point I'm saying here, when people are persecuting you for the righteousness' sake, that means the sake of Christ or sake of gospel. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5 again and start reading from 10 and 11 and 12 together.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Now here, if you read this, some people will say, hey, I don't need a Christianity. This is too hard. When become a Christian, I have to suffer, I have to give my life. It is better to not to be Christian. But the Word of God says, whatever the suffering we are having on this earth right now, what glory we are going to get, we cannot compare with the persecution we are having. We did not read the whole 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 16. You can go home and read it. But here the Word of God is saying, if you are a born-again child of God, each and every born-again child of God will have persecution. Each and every Christian person will be persecuted. Philippians chapter 1 and read verse 29. Not to just believe in him, but what? To suffer for his sake.
For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.
See, unto you means he said, God has given you a special grace. When the suffering comes, when the time comes, you will not be afraid to give your life for Christ. Because he has given us that kind of assurance, that kind of power. I heard one time one person was persecuting Christians and then he got saved. He was killing Christians, just like Paul. And so the other people came and cut his hand. And so he started still blessing them and praying for them. They cut his second hand and he was still praising God and glorifying God. And finally they cut his both leg. He kept on saying good things about God and forgiving them. Where it comes? It comes from the God's word. He says, God has not only given you grace to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. He gives us a special grace. Read the 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12.
Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Godly in Christ. Not only I'm a godly person, you have to have Christ in you. And when you're suffering for Christ, because he says, each and every person who says, I'm born again, that person will have persecution for the glory of God. Let's go back to the Matthew chapter 5 and start reading from verse 13.
Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
First thing he says, you are salt of the earth. People don't like to be called salt. But in go to India, and certain countries like, if you go to Gujarat, they will not say salt. And when they're eating, they said, give me sweet. Salt makes everything sweet. Somebody says, I don't know how salt can make things sweet. It can make actually sweet. You take any item made by sugar and don't put any salt, that will have a little bit a different taste. But you add little bit salt in your sweet items, that things will be much more tastier and sweeter. So it says the salt you taste. The word of God says your message should be saltened by the salt. Means people can hear and they like it. That's the way your talk should be. And so the word of God is saying the salt has preservity. If you are a salt and give the word of God to the people, you are protecting them going to hellfire or going to decay. And then he says, you are the light of the world. If you read in the St. John chapter 1, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And his light gives life to mankind. And so now we do not have our own light, but we are reflectors. We reflect the light from Christ and give the light to the other people. So the word of God says we were all in the darkness. We were in the darkness. We were dying without God and without Christ. And we were in the kingdom of darkness. But Jesus Christ has redeemed us or transformed us. Let's go to the Colossians chapter 1 verse 12 and 13.
Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
That means there are saints of God, they are shining for Christ.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Now what he did? He had delivered us from the power of darkness. The power of darkness is the Satan's kingdom. So we were dying without God and without Christ. The devil was our king and we were in the darkness, spiritual darkness. But now, because of Christ, we are delivered from the darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And when the kingdom of dear Son means the kingdom of light or kingdom of life. And there we are translated. And 1 Peter chapter 2, he says,
"But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light."
Now you are special people, chosen people. How it happened? He says, because Jesus Christ has called you from out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why we became a special people, and we are God's people, so we should be praising God and glorifying God and thanking God that we were dying without God and Christ, but now, today, we are special people, and we can reflect the light of God to other people. Now, go to the Philippians chapter 2, verse 15.
"That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world."
Now here is saying, where should be you shining now? "That ye may be a blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of crooked and perverse generation." You are light of the world, and the candle you don't keep under the bushel, but keep on the candle stand. So we should, as a Christian, we should not be hiding ourselves, not telling anybody about Jesus Christ, and we are busy with a worldly thing, and we have no time to testify, we have no time to tell other people about God. And then God is saying, I have delivered you from the darkness, I made you salt of the earth, I made you the light of the world, what are you doing for me? And so the Word of God is saying, God has called us with a definite purpose, so do His will on earth. Let's read a couple of verses and I'm going to finish. Go back to the Matthew chapter 5, start reading from verse 17.
"Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven."
Here Jesus Christ is saying, I did not come to destroy the commandments or destroy the teaching of the Jewish people, but I came here to fulfill the law. And then he says, if there is anyone teaching something, means changing the Bible scripture, changing the thoughts of the Word of God, there are so many people are doing it. Today they are doing it. And so he says, if those kind of people will be the least in the kingdom of God. Not talking about the unsaved people. There are scholars. There are people knowingly. Some of the people knowingly not teaching the right thing. The point I'm making, the Word of God says, if you do not teach my commandment, then you will be the least in the kingdom of God. If you go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, the builders builds on Christ. And some people built with the hay, wood, and precious stone. And so the fire will come and burn their work. And the person who founded that work, that person might be survived, but his work will burn down. People do not understand what he's talking about. The foundation is Christ. You're building the church on Christ. If you build the church on Christ with a false teaching, and the people do not want to get saved or baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit and give this simple, wrong salvation message, they are not going to make it to heaven. Means that work will be burned down. But the Bible says, if that person who taught them things like that may be a least in the kingdom of God. So the verse 20, what you have to do, your righteousness has to be more than the scribes and Pharisees, than only you will be entering into the kingdom of heaven. The scribe were the religious people who knew the Bible very thoroughly. And the Pharisees also very highly educated in the Word of God. And so those people, knowing the Word of God, but not teaching the other people, Jesus Christ says, you find one person to be your followers and make him your followers, but finally that person goes to hell because you are not teaching them right teaching. So he says, our righteousness should be more than the righteousness of Pharisees and scribes. So we will stop here. The time is gone. And then we will find out what the Pharisees were doing, and still they were not able to go to heaven. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to come to the house of God. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling. Without receiving Jesus Christ, we cannot get any blessing. And so, Lord, we thank you for giving us grace to call upon Jesus Christ. Give us that kind of burden, the people dying without God and without Christ. And we want those people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Give us grace to reach out to someone to tell them about Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.